A brazen daylight shooting on a city sidewalk as children narrowly escape the bullets. Just a glimpse at what police officers deal with every day. Sheriff Mark Lamb from Live PD is going to take us inside policing in America. And then the word police are on patrol. And they're saying now picnic. Yes, picnic is unacceptable. And change the flag? Ban the flag? Meghan McCain leaving The View? What is going on, America? It's all tonight on Banfield. It's Friday night, and that means a visit from law enforcement officials who know firsthand what it is like to be on the front line policing in America. Tonight, retired NYPD Detective Harry Houck is with me, also from the NYPD. Former Lieutenant Dr. Darren Porcher is with me, and back with us is the face of the new American Sheriff Network, Sheriff Mark Lamb of Pinal County, just busy out having patrolled the U.S. border today. All right, guys, I want to start with some pretty disturbing video that made the rounds this week out of New York. I could not believe my eyes and had to watch it over and over because I couldn't understand how this could have happened. A man opened fire in broad daylight. Okay, that's the first of it. So I want you to take a look. He chases down his victim and his target. And with absolutely no regard for a 5-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl, he fires wildly, hitting that target multiple times, and then makes his getaway on the back of a motorized scooter driven by an accomplice. This is so astounding. I, Sheriff Lamb, unless you have seen these videos, maybe people don't know that this is the kind of thing you guys see all the time. But for us, it's just horrendous. It's horrendous to see that is this the norm? Is this a new America? Is this a defund the police America? Characterize it for me.
Well, see, I pray that it's not the new norm, but I do believe that it is exactly the result what you're going to get when you talk about defunding police. What you do when you talk about defunding police is undermine the rule of law and those men and women you put on the badge to protect our communities. And you're doing it under the false pretense of statistics and ideas that they can't back up. But this has an impact on the crime that we're seeing in our streets, and it's unfortunate. The bigger cities are going to feel it first, and we are doing our best to keep it out of the rural and suburban areas. But I'll tell you right now, Americans are appalled by this. We are, and law enforcement are as well. And we need our politicians and the media to start supporting law enforcement and knock this defund the police notion off, or else this is what you're going to see on streets all across America.
All right, Lieutenant and Dr. Darren Porcher, New York City is your, wheelhouse. Does it shock you to see that video?
No, it doesn't shock me. I, as long as my counterpart, Harry Houck, have worked in the NYPD and understand the dynamic of that neighborhood in particular. That's the confines of the 4-4 precinct, which is in the West Bronx. That has some of the highest crime rates in the city. And when we speak to defunding the police, as the sheriff mentioned, it's really shifting the pendulum in the wrong direction. And we need to make that adjustment to ensure that the citizens are protected in that community. What's so unfortunate about this case in particular is the assailant. He was subsequently taken into custody and apprehended, but he was out on parole. But while he was out on parole, he committed another parole violation and actually robbed someone at knife point. But as it relates to bail reform that we have in the city of New York, this individual was subsequently released and back on the street to commit another horrific crime resulting in the shooting of this individual. So it begs the question.
So take a good look at that. Take a good look at that guy. Okay. Take a good look at that guy. This is the alleged person behind that horrendous act. The victim was shot 3 times in the back and legs, luckily survived in stable condition. This is Michael Lopez being put into that police car, 27 years old. And apparently this is what's so shocking, you guys. No connection between him and the guy he's shooting. Here I thought there was some horrendous battle that had been going on between them. Apparently there's no connection. But Michael Lopez, 27, that guy, apparently, as Darren just said, he was on parole for a 2014 attempted murder. That's allegedly him in the black ninja outfit shooting where children are. Let's just be clear on exactly what happened and who the allegations are against. I'm going to move on, guys. We talk a lot about the defund the police movement on this show. It is very loaded as a phrase, and it means different things to different people. But in Oakland, they've recently made slashes to the police budget there to the tune of about $17 million. And according to the police, in the last year, the murders have almost doubled. Shootings, carjackings, robberies have soared. The Oakland Police Chief, Laron Armstrong, addressed the press and made what I can only say is the most impassioned and emotional plea. And listen, get your Kleenex. Take a look at this.
Start off today by saying that I'm challenged by the decisions that were made on Thursday around the budget. Saturday night, I went out to a scene of a young man that lost his life. And a lady yelled out the window, "Do something about it." Without the resources, it makes it challenging to make Oakland safe.
Harry Houck, is that enough when you see police chiefs like Chief Armstrong in tears because he feels he can't help his community?
Is that not enough for the police department or for the politicians to look at him and say, okay, I think we should fund the police? What happens here, listen, the death of kids that are 4, 5, and 6 years old, they got caught in the crossfire in many different cities all through this country, isn't enough for the Democrat politicians that run those cities. So apparently this isn't going to be enough. The only thing you can hope for is that the people that live in this city will go out and vote next time there's an election and vote the right way. We've got too many politicians here that are using Black Lives Matter and using crime, all right, for their own good. And it needs to stop. And all the talk in the world isn't going to stop this until the people go out there and vote for the right people.
Well, Sheriff Lamb, I know this becomes extremely political. Our network aims to be non-biased and look at root causes and what the effects are. And so I know that many Democrats as well are devastated by rising crime rates, and Democrat politicians as well, devastated by rising crime rates. Not everybody ascribes to, say, the bumper stickers. But is it possible to come together and bring the polarized, you know, emotions down to the realities before it's too late, before these murder rates soar out of control and it's hard to put it back in the toothpaste tube?
Yeah, it is possible, but it, you know, Harry mentioned, we've got to put, the doctor mentioned as well, politics need to be put aside. We need to come together as Americans. Whether you're Black, white, Asian, whatever your religion is, your creed, in this country, we have a history of coming together as Americans, and we've lost that. And honestly, that division has been created large in part by the mainstream media. They have adopted a bias. They have adopted politics in their industry. And they have only fueled the fire of politics and driven a larger wedge between the American people, politicians. And we need to, Harry mentioned it, we've got to vote these people out. That's the only way we're going to get it. You know, a lot of the politicians don't like the results they're getting in their cities, but it's a direct result of their own politics, their own decisions that they've made. Oakland's no different. Oakland has had a history of horrible politics, bad decisions, and now they're reaping, you know, what they've sowed. And it's unfortunate, and it's at the cost of human lives and American lives. And we've got to come together as Americans, put the politics aside. I'm willing to work with anybody, because in the end, like any of law enforcement, like these two gentlemen that are here with us today, we all want to do this job, and we don't care what your politics are. We want to protect everybody in our community.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the pendulum often swings. It was heavily into defund the police, you know, this time last year, and maybe it's swinging back towards, oh, dear God, the crime rates are soaring, get the police back. Maybe somewhere we'll all come together, like you say, Sheriff. Hey, shoplifting, I know it is not a crime that you guys lose much sleep over, but I do want you to take a look at a video we just couldn't ignore this week. It was taken in San Francisco in a Walgreens. I am not sure I have ever seen thieves being this brazen. Take a peek.
Call 911.
And there you have it. Just load up what you want into two garbage bags while a security guard and looks like someone from the TSA, actually. And another person can only watch. The TSA guy tries to grab one of the bags. He gets one of them, but Mr. Bicycle Thief still gets away with one bag. Apparently, he went right down the street and did it at another store. And apparently, he was caught. He was caught later in the day with close to $1,000 of cosmetics. Go ahead.
Actually, that guard did more than the police could do, because police are not allowed to respond to them over in San Francisco. So that guard did a whole hell of a lot more than any police officer could do. But this shows you exactly what happens when some of these mayors and these town councils decide they want to make certain crimes where police officers can't respond to or won't respond to or won't allow them to respond to. So what they do is they know they can walk into that store, they can fill that bag up, and then what they're going to do is they're going to go to some other little drug store, some other store downtown or wherever, and then sell that stuff back. So they can virtually go in every store they want, take whatever they want, and then go sell it to another store and then make it a mint. And you know what? There's nothing that we can do about it.
It's so unbelievable just to watch that happen. It's disgraceful. I agree. And you can see the woman who was videotaping with her hands up saying, can you believe what we're watching? So just quickly, Darren Porcher, this guy apparently had $1,000 worth of cosmetics. So you know that this was something that was targeted for him. It wasn't, I'm hungry, I need something. This was just flat out, I'm getting the thing that I can resell for the most amount of money. And I think what's interesting is what Harry said. The police could not or would not. Is it because of defund the police, or is it because shoplifting, you just can't respond to it and crime is going bananas?
Well, it's multifaceted. I just happened to be out in San Francisco 2 years ago, and what Walgreens is experiencing are store closures as a result of the loss of revenue based on things like we just saw connection with this type of situation. It's us as the patrons that are suffering, because what happens when things like this occur, the prices go up and we as patrons have to come out of pocket. So when you ask the question in terms of defunding police, that does present a psychological narrative, whereas criminals feel as though they act with impunity, and this just is a byproduct of it as a result.
Okay, when we come back after the break, I want to show you a video that I find just so upsetting. When we come back again, a police officer is shot execution style, and a Good Samaritan comes in and shoots the bad guy. But then the Good Samaritan is shot because the police think he's the bad guy. Going to show it to you and ask you about it next. Now with Harry Haug, Darren Porcher, both formerly of the NYPD, and Sheriff Mark Lamb as well. Guys, a horrible tragedy, a horrible mistake, but could it have been avoided? I want you to take a look at this surveillance video. It comes to us out of Colorado. That's a police officer walking on the left of your screen, and a gunman, armed to the teeth, exits his car, tails the police officer from behind, watch carefully, and in broad daylight, he just guns down the officer, killing him. Now you'll see the gunman return to his car and then grab another rifle. It was reported to be an AR-15. And I'm going to stop the video right there, because before the gunman could do any more damage or kill anyone else, a 40-year-old hero bystander named Johnny Hurley, who was legally carrying a gun, shot that cop killer dead. Here's the real tragedy. I mean, the second tragedy. Mr. Hurley, that hero, that bystander, was then mistaken for the cop killer by a responding officer. And Mr. Hurley was shot dead as well. I can't even tell you how much this just breaks my heart in so many ways. An officer executed and then a Good Samaritan killed mistakenly by the police who thought they were getting the executioner. Darren Porcher, I don't even know how you feel as an officer, if I feel the way I do.
Well, it's unfortunate, but I can understand this because at one point I was an undercover in the NYPD, and one of the things they taught us was be vigilant and understand the responding officers may not know that you're in fact an officer. That being said, the same dynamic occurred with a civilian. When you're a civilian and you're taking action, I think it's great. I think you're a good Samaritan, but at the same token, you need to understand and be aware of your surrounding that responding officers may not know who you are, and subsequently we had a tragedy as a result.
You know, I think I might have seen somewhere, and I hope I'm not wrong in this. I think when the police responded to this, they may have seen the Good Samaritan actually holding the weapon of the perpetrator, and that might have been what spurred them. But go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, Ashley, you know, that second officer is responding to that scene. He's probably getting information from headquarters or from radio that the perpetrator was holding an AR-15. When that officer got on the scene, and he saw somebody stand, because apparently he did go over and pick up the perpetrator's gun. And he had the AR-15 in his hand based on an article that I had read. And that officer, as soon as he saw the guy with the AR-15, any officer would think, okay, that's the shooter. All right. Because they were both white guys. And, so he fit the description, had a weapon in his hand. And as a police officer, you're like, I got a 9mm. I got to take this guy with the AR-15. I better get the shot off first. This is a horrible, horrible accident that occurred. But you have to keep in mind, if you're carrying a weapon, and I keep this in my mind all the time, and even I got to take action because I carry all the time, is that the minute you take action and police start to arrive on the scene, you got to either drop that gun or holster it and put your hands up. That's what everybody should do.
Just want to make sure everybody knows the name of the officer as well who was executed in the street by that gunman is Officer Gordon Beasley. And I'm just, you know, my heart breaks for both Gordon Beasley and Johnny Hurley in that story. I'm not even going to name the executioner because why bother? I want to take you to Portland, Oregon. Yeah, definitely Hurley is a hero and Gordon Beasley is a hero too. The executioner. I think we can just leave it at that. Take you to Portland now because there's a case that's raising some pretty interesting questions there. I'm just going to roll the video. Police at this point have been called to do a welfare check on Michael Ray Townsend. Things appear to be calm, but Townsend soon stands up. And with what is being reported as a knife, he lunges towards an officer and the officer fires. Townsend then ends up having to go to the hospital after that, but Townsend dies. And that's a real hard one because we learned apparently that it was Townsend who had called for help. He called 911. He told them he was contemplating suicide. He told the 911 operator reportedly that he had a weapon. So, Sheriff Lamb, let me ask you. I mean, I know there's a lot of complaints from police about saying you can't continue policing by just sending, you know, social workers to a dangerous scene. But this might be one of those instances where social workers or somebody who was really well equipped in mental health might have been really helpful.
It's possible. I mean, sometimes, you know, these calls happen a lot more than people think. We are consistently dealing with people that want to hurt themselves, and a lot of times they want the police to do it for them. Unfortunately, this one ended bad, but a lot of them end very well, and we don't document those. We don't showcase the ones where the police do end up talking those people out of it. In this particular case, the police had no other option, and we have to really remember that it was the actions of this Mr. Townsend that eventually cost him his life. You cannot lunge at police officers. We just had an incident here in our county not long ago where similar situation, a domestic, and the guy ended up lunging at our officers, and we were forced to take his life as well. So this happens more than you would think, but there are so many success stories where they do talk the weapon out of these guys' hands. I'm not sure whether a crisis worker would have helped or not. But if he would have done what he did with the crisis worker there, we'd probably have a hurt crisis worker too.
Exactly. I think this is probably a suicide by cop.
Sometimes that is without question. I think you're right, Harry. Sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. I have one more item I want to get in, but I'm short on time. And let me make sure I get this one in as well, because it's a tough one. A Chicago officer, they have stripped him of his badge based on an incident back in March where he was chasing a perpetrator who was armed with a gun. The perp is running with a gun. The officer shot the man in the back. And it raises a lot of questions on use of force. Take a look at the body cam. I do want to warn some viewers here that this might you might find this disturbing. Take a look. What did you hand me?
you're shooting me.
You had a gun.
Hey, get on the ground.
Get on the ground.
All right, Harry Houck, listen, I think you, as well as many in law enforcement, know the principle of fleeing felon. A felon fleeing who is armed actually can be shot in the back or the front or anything, but it just, the optics are really uncomfortable.
Sure, it looks bad, but the fact is this man was armed. You know, and what's crazy to me is the guy actually, after he was shot, laid down and said, "What are you shooting me for?" That officer told him to drop the weapon. Now, you got to remember, when you're chasing a perpetrator with a weapon, and I've done it before, you got to worry not only about yourself, but other people. Could he run into somebody? All right. And can he take that person as a hostage? Could that hostage be killed? Can he just start firing at other people? So as a police officer, when you got an armed man, you ask him to drop that weapon. If he doesn't drop it, you need to shoot the guy. Simple as that.
Yeah, and there is that. Listen, it's a legal principle. It's called the fleeing felon, and it's been debated a lot. It's discussed, but it is, you know, it is code for the most part. If someone has a weapon and they're fleeing away, that is, that's allowed. You can shoot anyone in the back if they have a dangerous weapon and they could hurt the public. It's part of it. It just looks ugly. It feels ugly. But hey, guys, thank you so much. By the way, I just want to remind everybody about Sheriff Mark Lamb. Super exciting. Look, everybody's like starving for live PD since it was taken off the air, but you've come up with American Sheriff Network. So I just encourage everybody, if you haven't had your fill of Mark Lamb and all the guys, check out American Sheriff Network as well. Woo, look at that. Oh, it looks like
you can get
fun.
It at AmericanSheriff.com.
I hope I can come down and visit and be part of it at some point. Okay, Harry Houck and Darren Porcher, thank you guys as well. I really appreciate having the conversation with you all.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. All right, and I know the conversations are tough, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, so coming up, if you like the conversation of policing, how about this? Policing words like rule of thumb, give it a go, and picnic. Words apparently you shouldn't say anymore at one American university. Are you mad about that? Do you want to know why? Going to tell you in a moment. Plus, an athlete turns her back on the flag, and one of the ladies from The View is saying sayonara. Just some of the other big stories that made headlines. The lighter side of the news is next.